Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
So glad to have you out this morning. Starting a new series here at the first of the year called The Cross, the Blood, and the Fire. I don't think I could come into 2025 without preaching on the cross. I don't think I could come in here and set up for what God's going to do in 2025 without telling you about the blood. And I don't think it's going to come without the fire. So that's what you're going to hear about these next 3 weeks here in this first year here. Matter of fact, there'll be a fourth part of it probably added to it I'm developing right now. But in this, I've got a couple of words that I'm going to be releasing here in the next few weeks, maybe one into February, probably all the way into March, on what I feel like the Lord is saying for this year. I don't want to give it all at one time because there's a couple of different things very specifically the Lord spoke to me about in 2025. But one of the ones I'll give you, not in your notes today, and it'll be brought up later, is the word, when I kept praying, I kept getting the word accelerate. So there's fixing to come in this year. This is going to be a year of acceleration. And for things to accelerate, you got to be positioned for it to accelerate. So there's some questions you got to ask yourself. Am I where God wants me to be? Because if you're not where you want to be, you can't step on the gas. And if I'm not positioned in the heavenlies, in the earthly realm, how can I accelerate His kingdom? And real quickly, I'm trying to get into the full message here because I got a whole message we got to go through quickly today. But you've got to be in position to accelerate. And when you say the word accelerate, most people think, man, accelerate my finances, accelerate my job, accelerate my life, and bring me into more happiness. That's backwards.
Yep, that's right.
The acceleration we're talking about is how you are going to be a conduit for God to accelerate His kingdom through you on earth.
Amen.
Seek first the kingdom of heaven for it to accelerate. As the kingdom accelerates this year, you're going to accelerate with it.
Yep.
If you are with it. If you're not with it, it'll still accelerate without you. Amen? You just won't go as fast with it. Anyway, that's enough of that. Okay, let's pray, get into the Word today. Father, thank you for a time of worship that opens the heaven, God, that brings the anointing. Thank you for the baptisms this morning, Lord. Let that be the first of many. And yes, Lord, we baptize the first Sunday of every month, God. But Lord, I pray that we have to change to it's almost every Sunday. Woo, that's what we're reaching for, God, not just once a month, but every Sunday, Father. And it can happen as you accelerate your word, you accelerate your kingdom, and you accelerate your people in Jesus' name. So everybody say amen.
Amen.
Everybody say the cross.
Cross.
Now, we all have one, and I actually meant to bring out one. I've got on my desk a little glass kind of crystal cross, and it sits on my desk all the time, and I always want to be able to look at it. I always like to look at the cross and see what, as a reminder, this is what. But we've numbed the cross down so much that how many of you actually, you're wearing a cross either around your neck or in your earrings or something right now? And one of the questions it used to be, why do you wear your cross of gold? Is it just a symbol? Is it just a fashion statement? And to a lot of people, that's what it is. But to those that pay attention to it, and when you wear it and when you see it and when you think about it, man, it brings you to your knees with a heart of gratitude, with thankfulness and joy and just the presence of God. Because if it wasn't for the cross, none of us would be here right now in this condition. And I think sometimes we think about just Jesus in heaven and Jesus my Savior, and we get saved and we even get baptized. But let me tell you something. Go ahead and just put up the first note this morning. The only entrance to the kingdom of heaven goes through the cross of Jesus. Don't focus on heaven without focusing through the cross first. Can I have a better amen there? And so this morning I want to talk to you about the power and the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, in today's times that we're living in, especially here in the American culture that we're in now, When we talk about Jesus came to earth, Jesus lived on earth as Lord and Savior and Messiah. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. He went into a tomb. He was resurrected the third day, and now he's in heaven. Hallelujah. And we talk about that outside the gates of people who understand it in a world where it's just haywire, and they look at that and they say that stuff ain't nothing but foolishness. They think that our belief in the cross is foolishness. Matter of fact, they think the cross is foolish. Yeah. Oh, that's just a fairy tale. That really didn't happen. It didn't happen like it said it did. No man comes back from that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Y'all just believe in that foolishness. Everybody say foolishness. So I want to talk to you this morning about the foolishness of the cross. And you may say, man, where are you getting this word foolishness of the cross? That's just disrespecting the cross. I got it from the Bible. I got it from God's own word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The message of the, say it with me, the message of the cross is what? Right there in your Bible. Other translation says the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But the Bible says the cross, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But now here's, it's foolish to those who are headed for their destruction. They're on their way to destruction. Of course they are. They don't believe in the cross. They think it's foolish. That's destructive in its own nature for you to believe that. Those who are headed for their destruction. But we, everybody say we. But we who are being saved. Everybody say being saved. That's what the word says. Most every translation uses the word being saved. Some use the word in the process of our salvation. There's only two translations that say those who are saved. Every translation, I'm talking about 20, 30 other translations, use the word being saved. But to those of us who are being saved, we know it is the very power of God. So what's the very power of God himself? It's the message of the cross. Because we don't have what we have without the cross. Amen? So let me give you a brief, some of you are looking at, I never saw that being saved. You mean I'm not saved? I am saved. I am being saved. And one day I will be saved. It's the three manifold of salvation. The day I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was saved that day. I was 16 years old down the road here at Piney Grove Christian Church. The pastor preaching was Bill Cunningham, a man whose voice sounded what I figured God had to sound like. He had such a booming voice, a great man of God. I'll never forget him. He's in heaven now. But I got saved. I literally got saved that day. So what do you mean you're being saved? Everybody say being saved. There's a continual work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And you know, after I got saved, I still messed up some until I learned by the Holy Spirit not to do that. Then I was saved from that sin. Right. Not talking about my eternal life. I began to be saved from other conscious things I was doing that wasn't in the will of God. Yeah. And then one day when we get through here on earth, we will be saved completely. In other words, we will meet Jesus face to face for the completed work of our salvation in his full presence away from a sinful earth. That's why it's so important you understand the cross. The cross is part of your process. The cross was part of Jesus' process. He had to go through the cross. What makes you think you and I don't? Wow. Amen? Now let's go on real quickly to verse 19. Didn't want to stay there all day. And it goes on and it says, as the scriptures say, now watch this, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. Man, we are seeing more evidence of that today. Those that are without the wisdom of God, without the knowledge of the cross of Jesus Christ, living in their own flesh, their own intellect, God says they're destroying their own selves. There are people that have reached a certain amount of success and intelligence, whether it be through collegiate intelligence or study intelligence or financial intelligence. I no longer believe in the cross. I believe in me. I believe in my mind. I believe in my theories. I believe in my money. I believe in whatever. And he says, I'm destroying all of that. It all has to go back to the simplicity of the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. Can I have a better amen there? Now, real quickly, let's put up the next note. Now, I'm going to attempt to preach this message. That's all I can say. Because we're going to be going a lot of places today, so you're going to have to pay attention. But the next note says, what were the Jews looking for in the Messiah? You had the Hebrew nation of the Jews looking for a Messiah to come. And what they were looking for was this Messiah was supposed to come in this grandeur and all this glory, and he was supposed to be a military-type leader that would also lead in political arena, and it would bring them to a place where they could be such a great force to be reckoned with that they, in turn, would overturn and conquer Rome and all the world. Amen? That's what some of them are still looking for, okay? And they didn't see it. And they didn't see it because it was what they wanted versus what God wanted. Oh, my goodness, we're going to learn some stuff today. Now, this mindset of wanting this military, political, high political, military type person to come in and establish a rebellion and go against Rome and overcome Rome and then branch out and take the whole world and set up his kingdom on earth, which he did, not just like they wanted it, though. Everybody, that's what they were looking for. Now, let me tell you something. Even Jesus' own disciples had this mentality. That's why they were drawn to him. Because he talked about there's a kingdom coming. Well, they were thinking about the kingdom that they're going to be a part of on earth. And they became a part of it after they got in the upper room. But anyway, all the way to there, they was looking at this, what I'm talking about. Now, go ahead and put up the next note. Understand this, it was the cross of Jesus that got in the way of what the disciples were looking for. When Jesus began to talk about he's going to be killed and he's going to a cross to suffer, you know that began to jack with their mind. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. We thought you were the one. You're supposed to be setting up this kingdom and we're going to be a part of it. And their own selfish ambitions, everybody say selfish ambitions. Yeah. You know they probably began to say, where's my role in this? Because if he's going to be king, I'm going to be king's right-hand man. He'll probably appoint me as an ambassador over this area. I'll probably be a governor and a leader over here, and I'm going to be a part of his cabinet. So they were jockeying for position. Come on. And they were staying close to Jesus because the closer you are to the leader, the better position you get. Watch this in Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 4. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, now he's directly right at his disciples. He says, as you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man, that's talking about Jesus, he will be handed over to be what? Come on, say it. He'll be handed over to be what? He will be handed over to be crucified. In other words, I'm going to the cross. Amen? And then look at the next verse in verse 3. At the same time, the leading priest and the elders were meeting in the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. Jesus was prophesying. He knew the hearts of it. He knew what his plan was. He knew God's plan for his life right before you ever did. Amen. And then if you drop down a few verses into verse 14 of Matthew chapter 26, now watch this. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest. They didn't approach him. He approached them. He approached them and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him, Jesus, to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. And so from that time on, he, Judas, sought opportunity to betray Jesus. When did Judas, now according to these scriptures right here, when was it that Judas decided he would betray Jesus? Pay attention. Only after Jesus announced he's going to the cross. Even the disciples didn't understand the cross. The cross was a big barrier to their faith in who Jesus was. Because when he announced, I'm fixing to be delivered and I'm fixing to be crucified, dead and gone. Well, what's all this he's promised us? Am I not going to get the promotion? And Judas was a thief. Says so in the Bible. It ain't like Jesus didn't know that. He knew. And he appointed him to be treasurer. Some of you going, what was up with that? Was he tempting him? No. God will put you into places you struggle where you can lean on him and overcome that. God will sometimes allow you to go through struggles where you can depend only on him and overcome it through his power. But Judas didn't reach to Jesus. He thought of himself. I'm not going to get this position. I'm not going to be a governor of a territory. I'm not going to be sitting with the high priest in our little chambers. So I want to get something out of Jesus' life. He's done said he's going to die anyway. So why can't I benefit by handing him over? You see the logic? See, he didn't see the cross as eternal life. He didn't see the cross as the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. He saw the cross as dead. Gone, no more benefit for me. And can I tell you, sometimes we have the same mindset that when we see the cross, we think dead. What's God done for me lately? Nothing. And so we void what he did at the cross because we don't think we're seeing what we want to see. It ain't going according to our plans. It's not going the way we want it to go right now. So we nullify what Jesus did on the cross. The cross gets in our way sometimes as Christians. I'm here to lift you up this morning, not put you down. I want you to have a right understanding. Amen. Without the cross, there is no resurrection. That's going to be in your next note, but I got ahead of myself, but that's okay. You see, it's the resurrection of Jesus. Everybody say resurrection.
Resurrection.
It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is the defining truth throughout all of humanity that separates Jesus from any other religion.
Amen.
No other religion do you have a resurrected Savior. No other religion do you have the deity of God come in human flesh and die for them. Other religions, you have to die for the God. But Jesus came and died and suffered through the cross, went into the grave, went into the depths of death, hell, and the grave, got the keys, came back, conquered death, hell, and the grave through the cross. And that's what sets us apart. That's why this can be believable. I don't know about you, but I don't want to believe in a God who I can go to his tomb and his bones are there. Come on. I don't want to believe something can save me when it can't save itself. Come on. I want to believe in a God that the bones are not there and there's evidence after evidence after evidence that he's alive on planet Earth.
Amen.
And that he ascended to the Father. And the evidence is all there. Science can't even deny it. And I tell people this all the time. The day, and it'll never, this day will never come, but the day that they can get AI to convince you or something and they'll plant something where they can prove one scripture wrong, it'll make worldwide news for several months. It'll make it because they finally can discredit something in the Bible. But you know why that won't happen for reality? Because you cannot discredit anything in the Word of God.
Amen.
They've tried and they've tried and they've tried. And it don't happen. As a matter of fact, most atheists that try to prove the Bible wrong end up getting saved. So I tell all the atheists, prove it wrong. Go study to prove it wrong. That's the best thing you can do. Because it'll show you the truth, the way, the life, and the truth, and it's through Jesus Christ. Can I have a better amen there? Now go ahead and put up the next note. Again, you can only get to the resurrection through the cross. We all love that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he's alive for us right now. But do you understand? He had to die for you on a cross. He had to shed the blood for the blood sacrifice for all sins. And if it wasn't for the cross, we wouldn't have the risen Savior. So don't ever deny the power of the cross in your life. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ had to surrender himself to that cross. When he knew for a fact that he knew it from the beginning that he was going to go die for them all sins one day. And when that time began to draw near, the Bible says he drew away into the garden with his disciples. You know, they couldn't even stay awake with him. And then he comes to, and you're going to hear probably in the whole month of March, I'm going to preach on the kingdom of God. And the whole month of March is going to be nothing but about what the king, I've danced around it and you've heard me talk about. And let me just give you a preeminence again. You know this if you've been here the last few months. What religion was Jesus? He wasn't. He didn't establish a religion. He brought a kingdom. Okay? And we don't offer you religion here. We offer you the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In its fullness. And you'll learn more about that in March. Bring some friends with you. It's going to be eye-opening, I promise you. But Jesus had to surrender himself to the cross. The Bible says he could have called legions of angels and just wiped it all out. Which you've heard me testify, if I would have been him, that's exactly what I would have done. That's why we thank God for the cross in Jesus, not the cross in us.
Amen.
Amen? But of all the kingdom theology, all the kingdom word of God, somebody says, what's the most powerful kingdom verse in the word of God? And I said, there are many powerful verses about the kingdom. Matter of fact, all Jesus was about his kingdom. But one verse stands out to me as the most powerful kingdom verse of all of them, and there's a bunch of them. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Amen? All these kingdom verses. But here's the most powerful one I think I've ever seen come out of a person's mouth on earth. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. And when he was praying, he said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That's the most kingdom thing I've ever seen. It's for you to have a will of what you would like to happen and avoid something horrible, but you surrender your will to the King of Kings and his kingdom so it can come through you. You want to be kingdom, huh? A lot of people want to be kingdom. They ain't got a clue what it's about. That's why it's important you understand the kingdom, the way God preached the kingdom through Jesus, and not this. I ain't got time. That'll come up in March. Go, keep going, Joey. Okay? So you understand what I'm saying? Not my will be done, but your will be done. Acceleration can't come in my will all the time. That's why I've got to make sure, am I in the right place? Am I positioned for the kingdom to advance, not for me to advance? Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 and 23 says this right here. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed," again, go to the cross, "and be raised up on the third day." Now watch what one of them does, because again, they have no concept of the cross as anything but no, no, no. "Then Peter took him," Jesus, "aside and began to rebuke Jesus." I give it to Peter, man. Bless his heart. Stupid didn't know no end. I mean, don't you know he thought he finna do something great? I'm finna show the Messiah here, the King of Kings, a thing or two. He pulled, now I will give him credit. He had enough wisdom to pull him aside and not do it in front of everybody. I think if he'd have done it in front of everybody, it wouldn't have ended as good as it ended. And it didn't end real good for him, but let's finish reading this and leave this up here. Don't go to the next slide till I ask for it. "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" He rebuked the Lord's word. How many of us do that sometimes? God says, "I want you to do this." No. God says, "It's time to shift here." Don't want to. I'm comfortable over here. Now, we make fun of him, but we don't make fun of ourselves. We look at him and say, "Stupid." We don't get in the mirror and go, "Stupid." We get in the mirror and go, "The cross is in the way. The cross is in my way. I don't want to have to bear a burden to get to Jesus." Whew. I don't want to have to give up any more of my time. Now, before you put the next verse up, again, Peter's just rebuked the Lord, told him it's not, no need to happen. "Far be it from you, let this thing be." Everybody say, "Sweet Jesus." Sweet Jesus. I preached a message called "Sweet Jesus" here a while back. Sweet Jesus, if it had been one of us or somebody worried about his ministry and not wanting to lose somebody, would have said, "I understand you. I get where you're coming from. If you'll just give me a few moments, I'd like to talk to you and kind of share maybe the rest of the plan with you. And I understand you don't know everything I do, so I'm going to..." He would have been just loving and kind. Sweet Jesus. Let's look at what sweet Jesus really did. Next verse. "Sweet Jesus said, but he turned," Jesus turned, "and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" Oh, there it is. Disciple, Satan. Satan, disciple. Peter, Satan. Satan, Peter. Instead of Saint Peter, it's Satan Peter at this time. "Get behind me, Satan." Sweet Jesus. Yeah, he threw. "You are an offense to Jesus." God, don't ever let us be an offense to you. I know I have. How many's ever offended Jesus by your same thing that you're, yeah. "You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." You're not thinking through the kingdom of God. You're thinking through yourself. Even though you're my disciples, even though I've sent you out and you've performed signs, wonders, and miracles, you are not positioned no longer to accelerate my kingdom. As a matter of fact, you've positioned yourself against my kingdom, Satan. Whew. Guys, that's heavy. Get behind me. He didn't call him, you know, he could have called him maybe, you know, a lesser demon or something, Leviathan or a fly, you know, a fly's a demon. He called him Satan. Why? Because Satan had blinded him to what the cross was meant to be. The cross was amends to the end of Jesus' assignment. It had to be done to be fulfilled. But when you don't see the cross as glorious, when you don't see the cross as the kingdom, and you see the cross as death, and you ain't getting your way, then you nullify the work of the cross. Get behind me, Satan. You're offending me. You're mindful of the things of, you're not mindful of the things of God, but you're thinking like a regular man. How many times do we think like the regular world does because something don't go our way? We pitch our little hissy fit. We get mad. We want to talk. We want to post. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. And here's why. Put up the next note. Take a picture of this. Write it down. Human thinking without Christ at the center is demonic in its very nature. When we begin to form thoughts in our mind without the power of God in us, thinking like God thinks, thinking through His Word, thinking through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, our very thought patterns will become demonic just by its very own nature. Doubt, fear, resentment, pride, jealousy, envy, my way or the highway, narcissism, all that stuff falls into the thinking when we think without the mind of Christ. And the Bible declares He has given us the mind of Christ that we may know His ways. Oh, don't preach me down now. I'm trying to get through this without messing it up. If you look back, it's not going to be in your scriptures, but you can write it in. In Matthew 26, I read to you verses 1 through 4, where Jesus said He's going to be crucified, and they were plotting to kill Him, and then Judas went a few verses down and said, what can I get for you dying? I want to profit from you dying, and might as well get something out of it since you're not going to set me up right. If you look at the verses between that, it is where the woman with the alabaster box begins to break it and pour out the oil on Jesus' feet. The Bible says that was so expensive, it was a year's wages. And the disciples were watching this woman pour out a year's worth of wages on the feet of Jesus. And in Luke it says, and the disciples approached Him and said, why are you letting this go to waste? We could sell this and feed a lot of poor people. In the other Gospels it says, which disciples? It says, and Judas Iscariot said. So it was Judas, the one that already had a problem with money and had a problem with being a liar and a thief. Are you seeing the correlation here? The very one that was a thief was talking about something being wasted and going to waste. It's funny how that works in our lives sometimes. The very thing we accuse other people of, we're involved ourselves. How many ministries have we seen that took a stand against other ministers and then a year or two later you're seeing them fall for the same thing? And you know why they're falling for the same thing now? Because they were involved in it when they were criticizing another ministry. Be careful what you do in these times. Are y'all okay? All right, let's try to wind this up. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. For I have told you often, and I say it again, with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are real enemies of what? Of the cross of Christ. Let me read that to you again. He says, I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conducts and your actions and the way you're behaving proves you're an enemy of the cross of Jesus. Why? Because you're thinking like a man. You're thinking like a regular woman. You're not thinking through the cross of Jesus. You're not thinking through the grace and the power that was poured out for all mankind's sins. An enemy, not just a person, an enemy of the cross. I'm telling you, I don't want to go into 2025 an enemy of the cross. Whew. Not a chance. Now watch this real quickly. Verse 19. These people, that's an enemy of the cross, it says, they are headed for what? Destruction, just like we said a while ago in the other verses in Matthew. It says, now watch this. Their God, oh boy. Their God is their appetite. King James said their God is their belly. What are you hungry for this year? It's not a tangible physical size. It's a spiritual hunger. What are you hungry for? And what the disciples up until Jesus pronounced about the kingdom of God going through the cross, they were hungry for this leader. They were hungry for the military power. They were hungry for a position. He announces the cross. Now all of a sudden their hunger's not there no more. And they become an enemy to that cross. And do you know it wasn't Judas that just denied Christ? Every one of his disciples denied him at one point at the crucifixion. They wasn't there. They ran. Peter was one of the ones that ran and cursed as he ran. Look it up. Denied him three times before the rooster crowed. They are headed for destruction. Now watch this. Their gods are their appetite. Number two sign of somebody that's an enemy against the cross. They brag about shameful things, oh my God, and they only talk about and they only think about life here on earth. They're consumed with me, my way, or the highway. It's in marriage, it's in families, it's in our school system, it's in our entertainment world, it's in the church. It's on the platform, it's at the back door. People who are enemies of God in the house of God. Because you don't acknowledge the cross as being something beautiful in your life. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Your appetite. And now, where are we at in America right now? We are bragging about shameful things. We boast about it. We brag about it. We post it. And we make it a law. And now we make fun of you if you don't go along with it. Well, you just get ready to make fun of me this year because I ain't going along with it this year either. And we only think about things here on temporal while we're here on earth. We don't think about our eternal glory. And I could preach three messages just on that, but we got to close. Come on. I want to close with the words of Jesus this morning, written in red again. Everybody say, Jesus, speak to us. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said to his disciples, I got news for you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've professed that you're a Christian, you're his disciple. Don't be like the first ones all the time. Don't see the cross as something bad. See the cross as something, the greatest thing that led Jesus to you. He said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want to follow Jesus. I want to take up my cross. Before you can follow Jesus and before you can take up your cross, the word gives you a first instruction. What is it? Look at it. You got to deny yourself. You got to deny what you think you need to do. You got to deny the enemy's access to your plans. You got to deny the temptations that come into your life. When you can't deny nothing, you can't take up your cross or follow Jesus. It's that simple, folks. But when you learn to deny yourself and lean into Jesus, then you can take up your cross, and now you can follow Jesus. Well, I thought Jesus bore all of our burdens. He does. But he wants you to take up your cross. Why? Because that verse explained to you what happened in the garden that night. He denied himself. He went to his cross. And he followed God the Father all the way. Into the grave. Out of the grave. Into hell. Out of hell. Back to the earth for 40 days and then resurrected to the Father. Had he not denied himself and went to his cross, he never would be right there where we're at. And my friends, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you and me. I know you come here to hear a big message about prosperity and all this in 2025, and it's there waiting for you, but you will not get to it without denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. That's the most prosperous your life will ever be. That's the most prosperous your home will ever be. That's the most prosperous this nation will ever be. I know we've got supposedly our candidate going back in office, but if you look at that before you look at Jesus, you're out of order. That's too big of an assignment for any one person. Only Jesus can save a nation. Amen? And then he goes on and he says these last two verses. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And then it says in verse 25, the most sobering one of it all, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for that soul? What on earth is worth you going to hell over? I did a message years ago called, What in the Hell Do You Want? Yeah, I got the same reaction. But there has to be something of value in hell that you're going after to go to hell. What's worth it? And this may not even be popular, but I don't care. Is that drink worth it? Is that night in the sack worth it? Is that filthy mouth worth it? Is that stealing of somebody else's property worth it? And Satan will make it seem like it is right then. But in the end, it leads to death. The wages of sin is death. And it's a death without the cross. It's a death without a resurrection. It's a death without Jesus. It is a death that leads to eternal damnation in hell. Happy New Year. But I want you to know right out of the gate the truth that's going to get you through 2025. Because as prosperous as 2025 can be, there's absolute destruction waiting to be released in our nation. I'll talk more about that later, and probably in March, if we get there. What will you trade all of heaven for a moment on earth in your just fleshly humanity? Can I tell you, I don't care what it is, it's not worth the price. You're much better off putting it to the cross, denying it, taking it through the cross of Jesus, take it under the blood of Jesus, getting it washed, cleansed, and now you can follow after the Lord's will in your life. Deny cross, not deny the cross, but deny yourself, take up your cross, and you will follow Jesus. You reverse the order, you don't deny, you won't bear the cross, and you will not follow the Lord's will in this year. And that goes for saved people and lost people. It's for everybody today. I love you too much not to start your year off like this. Now, next week's going to be a little better. We're going to be on the blood. Everybody say the blood. We're going to get bloody next week. We're going to get bloody next week. Amen? Make sure you come. Make sure you bring somebody with you, okay? But right now, the most important thing, you need to deny the lie that you'll be okay without Jesus. You need to deny that there's plenty of time. It don't matter. You've got time. You need to deny the lies that are keeping you from surrendering your life to Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and just bow your heads. The first step is deny. And I'm talking to the persons either watching or here live with us. If you're here this morning and you know, and I don't have to do any more than, you know whether or not you're saved. You know whether or not you can look back and say, man, I remember I surrendered my life to Christ on that day. I haven't done it perfectly since then, but that day is etched in my... I remember going under and getting baptized. Hallelujah. So don't play games here. Either you're in one of two positions. Either you are lost and on your way to hell, or you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. And if you're lost in here, I love you and God loves you. And he went to the cross just for you, friend, where you could deny the lies, you could deny your past, and keep your past. And, oh, if you just knew what I... He already knows it. He still wants you to be his son or daughter. He's the one that can get you through that and past that. He's the one that can wash that sin away. You cannot forgive yourself. You cannot wash away and pay the price for your own sins. You can't get good enough to come to Jesus. You qualify just by surrendering and denying the lies and denying the pride and denying the arrogance of your life and humble yourself and come to God and say, I receive your love. Take me and wash my sins away. So if that's you today with no strings attached, you will not join church today. We don't worry about that right now. We just want to hook you up with Jesus. And you will not become a religion today. You'll surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the only one who's ever lived for you, died for you, and rose for you. And if that's you today with no strings attached, just lift your hand up and say, I'm starting it off right. Anyone? Anybody in the house? Right back here is one. Yes, come on. Come on. Hallelujah! Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All glory to God. Amen. Anyone else, real quickly, just throw that hand up if that's you there. Another one over here. Yeah, another one. Man, thank you, Father. Thank you. It's all Jesus, guys. Real, anyone else? It was delayed because of you, maybe. I don't know. No, I don't want to have to bring the pressure, okay? Just, how many of us, though, today, shifting gears, would say by the lifting of our hands, I'm ready, I've got some things in my life I've got to start denying as a child of God. I want to be in that accelerated lane. And I may have to shift some friends. I may have to shift a career. Come on now, I'm talking serious here. I may have to deny some friendships. I may have to shift a career. I may have to shift some financial things around. I may have to sell some stuff, but I'm willing to deny whatever God wants me to deny this year where he can accelerate his kingdom to me and through me. And if that's you, just lift your hands. I know I'm going to lift mine double portion on that one. Because I haven't arrived yet either, guys. But now what we're fixing to do right now, thank you for all those hands. God, just do your thing with them, Lord. But I want us to pray with our two people that lifted their hands this morning. As a family, I want us to pray together. For you two that lifted your hand, I want you to pray this out loud with your family now. Dear Jesus, here I am. I'm out of me, and I come fully into you. I receive your love for me. I see your cross, and I embrace it this morning. And Jesus, because you went to that cross and shed your blood, I can have faith that you're forgiving my sins. I ask you to forgive me of them, and I repent from them in Jesus' name. Come into my life, my whole life. I surrender it all to you today, God. All of me and all of you, because I can't do it by myself. And Lord, I want you to know I love you. I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I am now your child by faith in Jesus. Forever and ever, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Guys, don't ever take it for granted. Please don't ever take this stuff for granted. And this is just the beginning. Yes. Lord, accelerate what's happening here this morning. Yes. Yes. But accelerate it outside these walls. Accelerate it into our homes and our workplaces and our schools and our campuses and our colleges, everywhere we go, God. We don't want to leave what we've got here behind today. We want to take it with us everywhere we go. Be with every hand that was lifted, God, to help them, give them the strength on this 21 days. Maybe if you didn't decide to, maybe today you've discovered, I need to deny something for 21 days and spend more time with God. Jump on in here. There's some more of those sheets out there that'll tell you how and what to do. Every day there's going to be something posted on the website to give you some encouragement. So get up every morning, go to the website. It's going to be there for you. or not the website, but the Facebook, Journey Church Eva. Father, use every method. Use the social media for good. For good, God. Use our daily time. The things we begin to deny in life of our own flesh, let the Spirit give us a hundredfold manifestation of your presence. Lord, we love you. We bless you. Everybody say, I bless you, Lord.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.